This is Karma Spence, the Own Your Awesome in Business and Life Coach. And this is part two of my How Do You Define Your Worth survey series, which is a part of my overall Pay Me What I'm Worth journey. I've been going through each of the chapters of the book and sharing my reactions on my blog on video, audio, and text. And then Soul Dancer created this cool survey that's based on his working with people through this program for 7 years. So he's developed this intriguing survey, and so I got him online with me to kind of go with it through the survey. I'm taking this for the first time, so I haven't seen these questions before. In part one, I answered the first four questions, which were about career, ethics, gratitude, and health. In this episode, I'm going to go through the next four questions, which are about integrity, love, money, and personal development. I would like to have Soul on board with me while I do this, because I want this to be more than just me taking a quiz. I want it to be getting behind the data, behind the meaning. Let's call Soul up and have him come on this journey with us. Hey, Soul.
Hey, Karma.
I am recording me taking your survey, and I was wondering if you had a bit of time to come along with me and sort of explain your thinking behind each of the questions as I go through it?
Sure. These questions, if you're going to read them and answer them on your show, you're going to be giving your listeners some pretty good insight about your life. You really want to do this?
Well, you know, since I'm all about being authentic in your business, I think I'll be okay. And if for some reason, if a question really triggers me, I will say, I abstain.
Or you can answer it by clicking, but don't tell me what you click.
Exactly.
In fact, if you want to do that, I mean, I'm happy to go through the survey with you. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Are you going to read the question and then read the options?
If you're listening to this audio, why not hop onto the survey and take it with me?
If you want to answer questions without telling me what your answer is, that's certainly fine.
Okay. So are you ready to go through the second batch of questions, Soul?
I am. Before we dive into that, what's been some of the dust that I have dislodged from the first four questions? Anything, any ahas in particular?
You did have me see a different perspective of gratitude, and how it is a little bit more connected to giving and receiving than I had given thought to before.
Cool. Click on the link to go back to the first episode. No plot spoilers here.
Exactly.
Shall we dive into integrity?
Yes, let's dive into integrity. So the next question in the survey is for integrity. It's all things considered, people who know me would say my integrity is... Explanation for this, integrity is based on your ethics, morals, as well as your sense of feeling whole. Now that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought about your sense of feeling whole, but now that I see it in writing, I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah. Potential answers you could have are, one, a word they do not associate with my name. They see me as having little or no integrity. I'm so glad that's not me. Two, a work in progress. They tell me my integrity is improving. Three, too much for them. They wish was less honest more often. And four, the reason why they love me so much. Now, here's an interesting thing on they wish I was less honest more often. I've got stories that go, I remember one time I was in, I believe it was the eighth grade. The teacher was going over the answers to a test we had taken the day before. And as we were going through, I realized that she had given me a higher score than I actually should have received, which kind of confused me. So at the end of the class, I walked up to her and I said, I think you gave me a higher score than I deserved. And she looked at me like I was from another planet. And she literally goes, so you want me to drop your grade? I'm like, I'm confused. And she goes, okay. She dropped my grade, and it was no big deal. But and that kind of situation has happened to me over and over, because my first response to any situation is completely open and honest. It doesn't even occur to me to lie. So it's kind of funny, because I mean, when you read this, they wish I was less honest more often. You'd think, well, why would anyone think that? And yet I have experienced that time and time again where people are like, Karma, what are you doing? Hush, hush.
So are you going to be brave enough and answer number three?
Yes, I am going to answer number three because I am often, quote unquote, too honest.
Aha. Uh-huh. So warning, folks, you decide to go through the class here with Karma. Looks like Karma, mirror, mirror on the wall, is not going to mirror back to them not what you think they should hear, but what they need to hear.
I do my best to do that. Yes, definitely. And it would be nice. I mean, has anyone ever answered the reason why they love me so much?
This question is based on this slippery idea of integrity. And in Chapter 9, we talk about ethics and integrity. Now, if you recall, ethics, I give you this simplified, easy way of thinking about ethics, word equal deed. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Karma, if I tell you that I'm going to show up at your door at 6 o'clock tonight, and when you open the door, I'm going to smash you with a water balloon, and I show up at your door at 6 o'clock tonight, and I splatter you with a water balloon, I am a high in ethical person.
Just not very nice.
Now, that's morals.
Aha.
Morals is a little slipperier slope, and we get into that with ethics and integrity. Integrity, unfortunately, sponges up a bit of moral sauce in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so what my goal in Chapter 9 is helping you see your worth increases as your ethics and as your integrity gel and align.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's cooking there.
Interesting. This topic has come up for me a lot in the past couple of months. And there's so many different ways to look at integrity, but they all boil down to word equals deed.
Yep.
So the next question is on love. Overall, unconditional loving relationships are unconditional loving relationships equal relationships that accept you for who and what you are right now versus who and what you were or will be. And before I even read the answers, my instinct is unconditional loving relationships are only available with animals.
All right, we're going to slip into the deep end here.
Like I never doubted that my dog loved me. Never doubted it, and yet I have doubted the humans in my life. Humans are persnickety. Okay, so the answers are fiction, my internal perfectionist, judge, critic, think unconditional love is a myth. I don't believe that. Okay, two, possible but rare, I'm working on it. I have a long way to go to even love myself unconditionally. Three, becoming more real as I become more real with myself. And four, the basis for every relationship I have starting with myself. Ooh, that one is challenging. And I think this kind of goes back to some of what we discussed in the first episode about the giving and receiving. I find it easier to give unconditional love than to believe that someone will give it back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had said possible but rare and then stopped right there, I probably would have picked that one. The I'm working on it is fine, but then when it says I have a long way to go to even love myself unconditionally, I don't want to listen to that part.
Uh-huh. Not triggering you here at all.
No, not triggering me at all. No. It's funny. My relationship with myself is kind of like a ping pong game. There are parts of me I absolutely love. I'm on all levels. I mean, like, for example, here's a little story, and this may give you some insight into me. It took me a while to get on video. And now I've found I absolutely love watching myself on video because I love watching myself. I love the expressions I give off and how quirky and crazy and funny I get a kick out of myself, which part of me goes, that's great, you love yourself. And the other part of me is like, are you conceited or what? So that's where the ping pong comes in. It's like there's, and then of course there are parts of me that I'd be nice if that wasn't me. But it is. And I think that's a journey. I think that's a journey where you start loving even your darkness.
Yep.
Because there wouldn't be light without dark.
Answer is?
Oh, this is still really hard. I think I'm like in between two and three. I know it's becoming more real as I become more real myself, but I don't think I'm there yet. So I'm going to answer possibly, but rare. Even though I don't think it's as rare as that sounds, but that's probably closer to where I am right now.
Okay.
So what's the thinking behind this one?
Worth and love. You remember Maslow's pyramid hierarchy of needs?
I couldn't name them, but I am familiar with the concept.
You know, the whole concept of as you look at what is it that we need as a species to live a reasonably healthy life, healthy, happy life. I mean,
right.
At the bare bones, we need food, we need water, we need air, we need shelter, and we need love.
Yeah, in fact, that's why some children, babies can die if they're not loved and, like, physically touched, because they need to experience it that way.
At the end of your journey with Pay Me What I'm Worth, it is my sincerest goal, at the very least, that when you look into the mirror again after going through this journey, there's a sparkle in your eye that you are aware more fully that we are always unconditionally loved. Always. That there's a tighter connection to whatever that divine source is, whatever you consider divine, mm-hmm. whether it's religious or spiritual or sacred, whatever, wherever you're at with that. You could have a divine connection with a kitty in your hand. I mean, whatever that looks like.
Right.
But when you're done with this series, this unconditional love, you feel it glowing brighter from the inside out. And I don't know about you, Karma, but when I meet up with people who I can sense that they unconditionally love me, oh my God. Do you think I would ever try to screw them over?
Probably not,
of
unless you're a
not.
Psychopath.
Well, exactly. So that's what's behind the depth of this question.
And it also brings up this being humans, I wonder how unconditional love is. For example, my dog Sprocket, bless her little heart, she died in 2009. Would I have loved her as unconditionally if she had, I don't know, scales instead of fur? She would still have been Sprocket, she just wouldn't have been as fun to hug. I don't know. Maybe I would have. I mean, because I tend to like animals in general, but even when we love each other, what we're loving about each other is who they are. If someone was to suddenly have a part of their brain damage and they became a different person, would we love them as unconditionally as when they were the person they were before? So I think even when we are unconditionally loving something or someone, I think there's an underlying condition that we may or may not be aware of.
And that's what this book will ferret out, because karma, frankly, as we get in touch with our largest sense of worth, love becomes more unconditional.
Right. Deep, deep stuff.
Not bad for a book with a title that you think you're going to buy just to get a raise, huh?
Seriously. Yeah, this is not easy stuff to go through, but it's well worth it.
Now, the next question is going to be the question that everybody thinks is what we solely focus on in this book.
Exactly. Money.
Money.
Money makes the world go around. Okay, so the question is, financially wealthy people are. How do you feel about financially wealthy people? First answer, evil. Their greed will end up killing everything. Oh, God. And I know that there are people who believe that, and there are some teachings that actually teach you that. It's not true. I know very nice, wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
Two, my heroes, I dream of being saved by them or becoming like them. Oh my goodness, we're like Snow White being kissed by the prince. Not that I haven't had my fantasies. Oh, yeah. Three, smarter than me. They know something I don't know about money. Well, that doesn't make them smarter. It just makes them more well-informed. Ignorance and intelligence are two different things. This is just my point of view. So, four, just people. They eat and breathe just like me. I'm just as worthy of money as they are. Yeah, That's the one that feels like me. The only thing is I know there have been times in my life that, and there are moments, even now, where I slip back to number two. I want to be saved. Sometimes the day gets tough and you're just like, oh, Calgon, take me away. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to answer four. Just people. Because I've actually had many wealthy people in my life. And in fact, one of the wealthiest people, a millionaire, and she loved going thrift store shopping.
Sure.
It's like, you are who you are, and sometimes money comes along with it.
So does this question and the way I phrased it in this particular book surprise you?
No, but that's because of the realm that I work in. When you're working in the realm of universal laws and prosperity, what you feel about money and the people who have it is a very strong indicator of whether you have it or not.
I'm going to flash back to one of the video episodes that you did where you asked people in the field questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm recalling their bias of their answers based on not even reading the book. They have no idea what the book is.
Right, right.
The bias of their answers all reflected money.
Yes.
In this one question that I'm offering you here, your usual standard thought process was be, wouldn't this have to do with money, as in numbers?
Right.
And I'm not even touching that here. Why do you think that is?
You could do all the right techniques to increase your wealth, but if your mindset is, I think rich people are evil, or I need to be saved by rich people, or rich people are smarter than me, you will create blocks that will make those techniques fail you.
Exactly.
And we all have those wiggling around in our brains at some point or other. I just think that the wealthy people are probably better at managing those little sticky wickets. Because they've either were raised in a way that they were taught how to do it, or they learned how along their life journey.
Yep. Which then sets the stage for our next question.
Which is personal development. To learn and grow more healthy, wealthy, and wise, I pay attention to what or who inspires you to learn and grow. Answer number one, people with money. They got what I want. Okay. Two, the latest craze that seems to quickly make people rich or popular. Three, successful people who are doing what I want to be doing. And four, teachers who can teach me how to fish versus giving me the fish. Number three and four seem very similar. What's the difference?
Initiative.
Continue. Elaborate.
If you answer number three, successful people who are doing what I want to be doing.
Okay.
That option is different than if I were to say successful people who are doing what I will be doing.
Okay.
Want and will are two different things. I'll put it in a different perspective. Karma, one of the ways that I get people going in class when I'm standing at grocery store lines and movie ticket lines and, you know, I'm having small talk with people at parties.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do a quick role play with you here?
Sure.
Let's say you and I have just met. You don't know me. I don't know you. We're at some social gathering. And we're having this conversation, and you ask, let's start with you asking me this question. So what do? Let's start there with the role play.
Okay, so I'm asking you?
Yes.
Okay. So, Sol, what do you do?
Well, Karma, I'm kind of on a weird journey right now. I wrote a book called Pay Me What I'm Worth, and I'm doing a survey. Would you mind me asking you three simple questions that require a yes or no answer?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. First question, overall, Karma, I mean, when you look at the big picture in life, overall, how would you answer this question? Are you paid what you're worth? Overall, is that a yes or no? Are you paid what you're worth?
No.
Okay. Second question, I don't want to make any assumptions about your answer. You said no, you feel confident that you're not paid what you're worth, right?
Yes.
So to clarify, second question, do you want to be paid what you're worth? Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm hearing you say, no, you're not paid what you're worth, but yes, you do want to be paid what you're worth, right?
Yes.
So that's a no and a yes. Last question, one word, when? When do you want to be paid what you're worth?
yesterday.
Then you need to get involved in my class. Ending role play. Do you see how that frames the difference between the third and fourth answer?
I think so. Let me put this in my own words. So what number three is the underlying emotion, I guess, of number three is that I'm not doing this. I may never be doing this, but I'm going to admire these people who are doing it in the hope that I might actually do it at some point in time, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So three is still wiggly and wishy-washy.
And four is definite.
Definite.
When people do not sign up for my class, right there when I do that role play,
yeah,
they're at number three.
Aha. Uh-huh.
When people say, how much and when do I start, they're at number four.
Got it.
And so when I get people who answer number three, in my mind, well, yeah, I do want to be paid by my book, but you know, I'm really busy. I don't have the $108 a month or whatever it is the class is at that moment in time. They come up with excuses. Karma, what they're telling me is they have an ideal that they want to be paid what they're worth. But much like a person who is looking at, for example, way back when, back in 2002, I was close to 365 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I needed to lose weight, but
yes.
I also knew that it was going to require effort. And I wasn't ready to put that effort in until I sat on my doctor's examining table. And that doctor said, well, Sol, you've got kind of a decision. You're about 4 months away from me diagnosing you as type 2 diabetes, of which you will probably stroke out or have a heart attack like most of your brothers at 40 or 45.
Yes.
That's your path. You can choose that. That's your decision. Or you can do something about it. What are you going to do?
Wow.
So, I'm busy. I like my life. I don't keep, blah, blah. You know, there's all the ego that gets involved in here. I was fortunate enough to have some teachers come along in my life, literally within hours of that moment in my life, that shook me up enough that I just said, what do I need to do and how much? I didn't question mm-hmm. them. I could have cared less what their pedigree was, what their background was, what are your credentials. I didn't care. They mm-hmm. showed up in my life out of the blue. I trusted my gut that these are people who are going to help me get happy and healthy. 2 years later, I had retired 125 pounds, and I got paid to do it.
Even better. Now, this brings up a question that has happened in my life, and I know it happens in my clients' lives as well. And there are times in your life where the money isn't there. No matter how much you want it to be, it's not there. You've tapped out your credit cards. You've borrowed as much as your family is willing to give you. And your income is what it's income. It's like you can be at the number four emotionally, but the finances are literally not there. It's not an excuse. It's an actuality. And I've had some coaches try it in the past, try to shame me into coming up with money. And it's like, I'm sorry, you can't get blood from a turnip. It's not there. It doesn't exist. What do you say about that?
Priorities. 90% of the people who give me that comment, I'll say, oh, nice cell phone you got. How much is your cell phone bill every month? You can have a landline for $9.99 a month. Why aren't you canceling your cell phone bill and having a landline? Or they have a cable subscription. You know, their cable bill is $90 to $150-some a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's called priorities. And in our program, at least when people sign up with me and they really want to do my work, but they don't have the money, I'll ask them, okay, do you think you can find five people who can afford $50 a month to take a class? They know five people who can take $50 out of their discretionary income and take a class, and these people will become their support team. And if they him and haw about, well, you know, blah, blah, they're not ready. They're
right.
Not
okay.
Ready.
And I think that's a much better way of phrasing it, because saying to someone, well, then your priorities are different, that doesn't shame them. People have every right to have whatever their priorities are.
Exactly.
And that's fine. Okay, so that I like that way of looking at it, because that's true. I mean, I do choose to have cable because the idea of not being able to watch my TV shows during the brain dead time of my evening, I would make me want to slip my wrists now. It's like, I can't live without sci-fi, okay? I just can't do it.
So it's reframing on personal development. My goal here is pay me what I'm worth, this book. As you get into it, you're going to discover that I am going to help you attract people and resources that will help you learn and grow. You will attract. I'm not attracting them to you. You right. attract them to you. I'm giving you the tools to help you fish. And a right. lot of personal development programs, have you noticed, Karma? A lot of personal development programs, they're kind of like Velcro.
Mm-hmm.
There's the 101, but if you want to get to the 201, you have to buy the 101. And they string you along, and there's always something that you've got to upgrade to, right?
Yeah.
I can't do that. Ethically, that's abhorrent to me.
Yeah.
We went through these four questions pretty quick.
Yeah. Now, I do have one more question about this one before sure. I answer it. What happens if someone is, number three, successful people who are doing what I want to be doing in some areas of their life, but they're, number four, teachers who can teach me how to fish in other areas of your life? Which one do they answer?
Give me an example.
In my life, I'm beginning to think when it comes to my weight, I'm a number three. I keep finding that other areas of my life have a higher priority. And I'm doing what I can, but I'm probably not doing everything I can because it's not as high a priority as other areas of my life. But when it comes to my business, everything that I can invest in my business, I do. And I'm so there. That said, I have a lot of opportunities. I have to pick and choose which ones I take advantage of. So like when it comes to my business, I'm a number four. But when it comes to my weight, I'm a number three.
What are you paying the most attention to?
My business, which is why my weight is a number three, because I'm paying much more attention to my business, because I know that once my business gets to where I want it, then everything else is easier.
The last part to this question is, to learn and grow more healthy, wealthy, and wise, I pay attention to, and you said, business.
Yes.
So your answer is?
I guess it would be number four. Teachers who can teach me how to fish.
Ding, 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 ding.
All righty. So that was four. Okay, so we are at the fourth question for today. That ends this episode, part two of the How Do You Define Worth Survey Reaction series of my Pay Me What I'm Worth journey. If you would like to take the survey yourself, please go to paymewhatimworth.com/survey. Sol, what are you doing with the data on this survey?
I'm verifying what a person is answering before they even take a journey with us. Before you buy the book, before you get involved in the classes, this survey is designed to help you get a sense of how much the scope and the depth of how much we get into in our work. I'm comparing the replies once you complete the survey and you click submit. I'm comparing what you've answered without your name, without your email address, without anything that's going to identify you. I compare your answers with the answers I've already gotten from people who have gone through the program so that I can start writing some reports on the continuity of before and after.
Wonderful. Okay, great. So this is the end of this episode. This is Karma Spence, the Own Your Awesome in Business and Life Coach, signing off.
Thank you, Karma, for inviting me to dive a little deeper into what is all happening with the survey at paymewhatimworth.com/survey. Heads up, everyone. Karma will be starting a master's program. To get into that master's program, you need to have an intake interview with her. Be sure to give her a call at 424-235-3743. That's 424-235-3743. Explore with Karma if this master's program for Pay Me What I'm Worth is a fit for you. I look forward to having you in class. Aloha.